Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation here in just a moment. We've been in a series called He Sent Him, emphasis on teaching about the Holy Spirit. This is absolutely profound, this passage to me. Don't know that I've heard too many people preach on it. In the early 2000s, I heard Dr. Morocco preach on it. Powerful message. I'd entitled it, The Second Touch. The Second Touch. This passage is, as I said, unusual and filled with encouragement and what I believe to be revelation. Stand up on your feet. Mark chapter 8. Greetings to all those that are online. Once again, glad that you're with us. The notes, I believe, can be accessed through the app online. Mark 8, verse 22. And once you're there, give a big hallelujah. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man. Everybody say, some people brought. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. And they begged him to touch the man and to heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand. Gosh, I love that. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him. What did he do with his hands? He laid his hands on him. Okay, he spit on him, then he laid his hands on him. And asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees. Walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. That is a second time. And his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored. And he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away and said, don't go back to the village on your way home. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence that's here. Release faith tonight. Release your power tonight. Have your way. We won't stop you. Let every man and woman, boy and girl be brought low and you be glorified, you be magnified. Holy Spirit, come. Manifest your gifts here tonight that we might be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This passage is one of the most unusual passages to me for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons it's unusual. It's the only time Jesus asked the question, do you see anything? I mean, all the other times you look at the miracles of Jesus, they're healed. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. But when he prays to this guy, he doesn't get a full miracle, but he does get a partial miracle. But it's interesting that Jesus says, do you see anything? It's the only time we see a person getting partially healed when Jesus ministers to him. Now, he got his full miracle, but not the first time he didn't. Do you find that interesting? It's the only time a partial miracle is manifested. And again, it's the only time that Jesus laid hands on a person a second time. You do not see people being prayed for twice by Jesus. When God prays for somebody, it's done. But this time is different. I found myself encouraged. There's some unusual things about the text, unusual things like, why did he lead him out of the town? What's that all about? Why did Jesus take the blind man and lead him out of the town. Couldn't he have healed him in the town? Well, of course he could have, but he didn't. So why didn't he? No, I don't know. We don't know. And not only that, but don't go back to the village. So he leads him out of the village and he says, don't go back there. Is there something about the village that brought his blindness? Is maybe there's an aspect of something that's taking place there that is adversarial to the man who got his healing? What's that about? And honestly, we don't really know. And I didn't take the time to go look into Bethsaida and study that out for tonight, but you could. You could dig into this. Like, why would you have to leave the village? And why don't you go back to the village? Why not? It's some mystery, unusual aspects of this miracle. And why the spit? What's up with that? Jesus worked up some spit and I heard somebody say, we ought to have a spitting revival. Be like, there'd be lawsuits everywhere. This is profound. It's profound to me, and I see five things here that are profound, and after we look at these, God is going to release his healing power all over the place. How many of you need a healing of some sort tonight? All right. I want you, as you hear this, let your faith rise. Come on, you engage, you lean in, you believe God as you hear the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But then there's also the gift of faith that just comes. Come on, we're going to believe for faith to be released in all its multifaceted way tonight. What I believe Jesus did for the man produced faith. He led him out of the town. I think that the town was using the man as a test. It's like a test case for the townspeople. You know, look at it a little bit differently. We don't know. I'm taking a little bit of liberty, but what is it about the town that he had to lead him out? Because you'll notice that Jesus always removed the mocker and scoffer, right? They laughed him to scorn. He said, that's fine, you can get out now. Then he raised a girl from the dead. So you'll see that when there's mocking and scoffing and when there's unbelief, like at Nazareth, they isn't this Jesus? Aren't this his brother and sisters? And that he could do no miracles there because of the lack of honor. There's a lack of honor. There's a lack of faith. So I think it ties into that, but we don't know for certain. But it is a scriptural principle, even if I'm reading into it just a little bit. I think the town was like, okay, Jesus, let's see if you can heal the village idiot. It's not the village idiot, but he's the village blind guy. How many of you know what the village idiot is? It's a terrible expression for somebody who's just broken and an alcoholic, and he's just the broken guy in the village. So it's like they get the village blind guy, and they're like, hey, Jesus, can you heal him? And he takes him by the hand, which I love. Don't you love the fact that God will take you by the hand? Put your hand in the hand of the man who healed the waters. How many of you know that one? Okay. You're over 50. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You guys don't know that? He takes him by the hand. So I think the man is a test case for the townspeople, but Jesus treated him as a person. He didn't treat him as a test case. He treats him as a person. And that to me is beautiful. His leading him, the spittle, the partial healing. You have to look at the Greek. These three words, it builds this anticipation. I think what Jesus is doing is he's leading him through this encounter, and with each step, with each moment, the leading, taking him by the hand. Oh, the Messiah has taken me by the hand. The leading him out of the village. It's this sense of dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. It's this sense of like, something's coming. And I think that's for Jaws, so that probably doesn't apply. But it's the sense that there's this building anticipation that the Messiah, Jesus, is going to do something right now. And the whole spittle thing, the whole spit deal is, the ancients believed that there was power in spit. And I believe Jesus is encouraging us that when we experience delay, how many of you ever got a partial miracle before? All right. How many of you ever got a miracle like you got your healing, but then the symptoms came back a year later, a month later, a week later? You got. Now, I've heard all kinds of very interesting teaching about how there's issues of the soul. Getting ahead of myself a little bit, but bitterness, unforgiveness can certainly cause a door to be open for sickness and disease. It's not to say that everybody has a sickness and a disease is because they're bitter and unforgiving, but it is something that you ought to look at. But when there's delay, don't be discouraged by delay. I believe that this text shows us that we can be encouraged when we experience delay in our miracle. I've been believing for a particular miracle for going on 30 years. I'll go for 30. It's just about there. About 30 years, I've been praying for one specific miracle. How many of you have been praying for something for a long time? In the course of those 30 years, I will say I gave up numerous times, but now I know too much. It's impossible to give up now. I know what God's will is. I know what God's word says. And so what am I going to give up to? He's God. He's going to fulfill it. If it takes another 30 years, so be it. I don't know. I mean, I'll contend, I'll pray, I'll believe, but I'm not going to get discouraged. I don't get discouraged anymore over delay. I fight it. I press it. Sometimes delay is from God. Other times delay is from the devil. And so therein lies the rub. Which one is which? That requires discernment. Lots of examples in Scripture. Think about Abraham and Sarah. I mean, 22 years? He builds altars in the desert. Abraham, his name means father of many. You got to keep believing in despite of delay. And there is delay, and you see it throughout Scripture. Keep believing despite the delay. Sarah, over and over, how many years? Then when the angel of the Lord shows up and is talking to Abraham, the father of many who has no kids. Hi, what's your name? Father of many. Really? Oh, wow. Wow, that's quite a name. How many kids you got? I will have more than the stars. What do you mean you will have? Yes, I will have more than the grains of the sand. I will have. How many? No, I asked you, father of many, how many?
None.
And Sarah hears the angel say, by this time next year, and she laughs. Yet, she had the promised Isaac. Delay. Delay. Think about Hannah. Hannah was delayed. She wanted the child. She prayed. She was considered to be intoxicated by her pastor, Eli, who had issues of his own. And yet, in the process of the revolution of days, she became pregnant, brought forth one of the greatest Old Testament prophets where none of his words fell to the ground. His name is Samuel. Or you think about in the New Testament, Zechariah. His miracle was delayed. In fact, Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 had reproach. They were looked at, it says that they were righteous people, above reproach. They were blameless, and yet it says later, after they get their miracle, that their reproach was lifted. So if they're above reproach and they're blameless, what was the reproach that was on them? It's because if you didn't have a child, you were considered that you must be doing something wrong. You must have sin. You must have some sin condition. The Lord has closed your womb. But that wasn't the case. God was waiting for the right time to send John the Baptist, the burning, shining lamp, was waiting, and they had a delay, a period where they had to wait. In fact, that text says, as the angel of the Lord appears, the archangel appears to Zacharias says the prayer you used to pray in the original language, the prayer that you used to pray has been heard. What is the prayer that you used to pray? Well, we know what it is because he then says your wife is going to get pregnant. So that's the prayer he used to pray. And he's filled with unbelief. Huh. How do I know what you're saying is true? And the angel says, you idiot. That's the Bracken version. He was not able to speak, and then he was delayed 9 more months. How about Trophimus? Anybody know who Trophimus is? No? Galatians talks about that. Galatians 4, look at this. You're like, who's Trophimus? This is good. Watch this. Turn there. You've never seen this, most of you. Trophimus what? Oh, I've got my scriptures turned around, but turn to Galatians 4 anyway. There's this guy, Trophimus, in the New Testament. I neglected to put the text reference. I'm so sorry. Be a good Berean and go look it up. But Paul leaves him behind. Paul leaves this guy, Trophimus, because he gets sick, and Paul moves on. That's amazing to me. Why would he leave the guy sick? Do you think he prayed for him? Excuse me. Do you think he prayed for this guy Trophimus? I'd love for somebody to find that text reference. I neglected it. Bam! 2 Timothy 4:20. If you're able to put it on the screen, that'd be fantastic. Hurry up. Take your time and back in the media booth. 2 Timothy 4:20. So here's this guy Trophimus, and he's sick. And Paul is on the move. I mean, Paul is on his apostolic plan, moving forward. And Trophimus gets sick, and he leaves him. Well, what about that? Well, we don't hear about him dying or anything, but Paul kept going. We can move on in the purposes of God, even though you have a delay. Did you get the scripture? Is it? Just give me a thumbs down so I quit looking for it. Is that a up or down? It's a down. You got it? Who's got it? Hustle me up that scripture. I want to read it. Thank you so much. Awesome. Just need a miracle in my eyes to read it. Father. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the house. Hallelujah. I thought you gave me the thumbs down. Are you guys messing with me? All right. Give greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those living in the household of Omniferous. Next verse. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left. Why did he leave Trophimus? He left him because he was sick. Now, do you think he prayed for him? Yes or no? Absolutely did. And then, I guess he stayed sick, and he's like, gotta go, bro. Peace. You can move on in the purposes of God even though you've been delayed, even though you have struggling with sickness or you have a partial healing and you're believing for a miracle and the miracle hasn't come. Keep moving forward. Keep getting on with it. Keep worshiping. If it doesn't listen, if it doesn't fit your theology, don't change your theology. Contend for it and keep going. Could look for opportunities to turn the problem to good. And that's Galatians 4, verse 13 to 14. It says this, surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. So he's writing to the church in Galatia, and he's basically saying, I was sick, and because I was sick, I met you all. And when I met you all, you guys heard the gospel because I was sick. I mean, that's the picture that Verse 14, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me. Nice. Oh, you're sick? I gotta go. You didn't despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. He was sick, and so we had to stop. And when he stopped, he shared the gospel, they got saved and planted a church in Galatia. Listen, you don't know what your delay is. You contend, you pray, you believe. Don't start making up things that you've been forgotten, or healing isn't of God, or Lord, don't you even love me that you didn't bring about my miracle yet for 30 years? Don't you put conditions on God. You stay in a place of faith. I backslid to hell once. I would highly advise, I didn't actually go to hell, but it was hell on earth. I would highly advise that you don't do it. Are you serious right now? Yeah, it wasn't last week. It was many, many years ago. And I'll just tell you the story because I feel led to. I've shared it before very few times I've shared this. I had a deep desire for God to do something in the restoration of my family. I was married before I was saved, and I got divorced, and I lost two children and a wife, of course. Then I got gloriously saved, and after I got gloriously saved, I knew I had to go back, and I felt like I had a promise from God that God was going to restore my family. I knew I had to go back and at least try. Well, in my mind, I had seen visions of my children, Daddy! You're 3 and 4 years old at that time. Oh, look at you. You're so different. My gosh, you're glowing. Are you standing 3 feet off the ground? What's that presence? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's on me. Oh, let's just heal everything. Let's just get back and serve God together. That was the vision I had. It ended actually in nearly being handcuffed and having a permanent restraining order and having my heart broken in a million pieces because I said, God, if you love me, you're going to give me my children back, give me my wife back. I'm going to get a full restoration. So when I'm nearly arrested and almost shot, like I said, it wasn't last week. Just bump yourself, bump your neighbor and say, it wasn't last week. I stood there in the driveway with two officers, or maybe Washington State Troopers, in Woodinville, Washington. And I looked up to heaven, and I cursed God and said, I will never serve you. And I turned and went headlong into darkness for 8 months. And if it wasn't for a lot of people praying and interceding for me, if it wasn't for my mother, I know my mom hates when I tell these stories, but I like telling them sometimes because we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And some of you think, well, oh, Pastor, he was born in a silver spoon. And just look at that nice jacket he's wearing and that awesome bald head of his. He just must walk on water. Yeah, no, I was lost and broken. And I had things in my life that, listen, don't you put conditions on God. You stand on his word and you trust him and you contend and you pray and you believe and trust his leadership. And if it hasn't manifested yet, it ain't over if you're still breathing. So angry at God, and I turned and went headlong into my old life. It's the bride of Frankenstein right there. Some of you have done that. For the bride of Christ, the bride of Frankenstein, is you get up and put your old dead man back on. Turn. God in his infinite mercy snatched me out of that. I know now that no matter what the delay, I know that God is good. And I know that if I don't understand it, well, I don't really understand too much anyway. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to keep keeping on. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to look for opportunities to turn the problem to good. And that's what the apostle... Lord, how come the Apostle Paul was even sick? Where's the divine healing there? Oh, divine health, I've never gotten sick in my whole life. Okay, slick, that's great. The Apostle Paul got slick. He got sick. No, I've seen that, and it makes me want to get sick. I've seen well-meaning evangelists. I've seen well-meaning pastors. I've seen people. You can declare divine healing, do it. I do it. I'm going for 120 years. Amen. I declare, I proclaim divine health, divine healing. And then I got COVID. I'm still here. I'm still here. You don't contend for sickness, contend for health. But there are times when somehow, I don't understand it. I don't. Come on, raise your hands to heaven and say, God's good. So when you go through problems, you look for opportunities like the Apostle Paul planted a church when he was sick and the church of Galatia is formed when he was sick. That's how that was started. We continue to praise God for being our healer. You thank him and praise him anyway. Thank him and praise him no matter what you're going through. And many times when you're thanking and praising him, it releases God's power to heal you right then. He's a provider, even though you may have been delayed. He's a provider. Look at D. Ask God for revelation. I sort of started touching on this, but I'll go a little bit deeper. You might be sick or you might be struggling with something because you did something stupid. So that's not theologically true. No, you're theologically inaccurate, because in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about, Paul says, some of you have died, some are dead. He actually says sleep. Some of you have fallen asleep, which is death for the believer. You've fallen asleep because you didn't judge the Lord's body. So in other words, they're taking communion, they're taking the Lord's Supper, and they're declaring his death and his resurrection, but they're actually declaring judgment on themselves because they didn't examine their lives. Listen, when you take communion, and I think everyone should take communion, I think you should take communion every week. I know people that take communion every day. All of y'all, I said to KSM this morning, take communion in your house. You're the priest of your own house. Get yourself some grapes juice, orange juice, apple juice. Don't even have to use juice. Use water. Now, we don't use wine for a lot of different reasons. We don't want to exclude former alcoholics. And I don't drink wine even if it was in just a little cup. Oh my gosh, you want to hear a funny story? I know you do. I was on the phone with USAA today. They helped me with some of my banking, and my father was in, when I say was in the Marine Corps, I always flinch a little bit, because once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine, apparently. Semper Fi? Okay. So because he was a captain in the Marine Corps, I have USAA, and they're great for many things. And so I called to straighten out. There was a fraud charge on one of my cards from, I don't know, and the card didn't work, and I didn't know it until I went to go use it. And so I called. I said, hey, my card doesn't work. He said, well, there's a fraud charge from 8 months ago. I'm like, what? Okay, so we work it out. And the lady says, so where are you? Where are you? I said, oh, I'm in Alaska. She says, oh, is it cold? I said, yeah, well, it's getting there. And she says, oh, and we go back and forth. And I use those opportunities to witness. So she says, is it cold there? Yes, it's cold, but it's really dark there too. I said, it sure can be, that's for sure. She goes, well, how do you stay? I said, well, man, I just love Jesus, and I don't know what you do in the dark without an on-fire church. My church is amazing. And I just start witnessing to her. I do that all the time, because she gave me a shot, and so I'm weaving the gospel in right there. And she says, oh, you're a pastor. I said, I am. She said, oh, wow, that's interesting. I said, yeah. Tell me about your church. So I tell her a little about the church. She says, oh, have you always been a Christian? I said, no. And so I said, I was raised as a Catholic. And she said, ah, I'm a Catholic. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, you go? She says, I go every Saturday night. And if I can't make it Saturday night, I go to Sunday. And I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I teach First Communion and catechism and everything. She starts telling me all the stuff she does. I said, oh. She said, so do you take communion? I said, I do. She goes, you know, it's not real. I'm thinking, oh, you got some guts right here. You're a USAA. I thought, I just want to call you in right now. No, I'm kidding. But I ain't letting that roll. And I said, oh, yes, it is. She says, now, you need to return to the Catholic Church. The lady starts trying to convince me to return to the Catholic Church. I hope you're online right now. I hope so. I ain't no going back to the Catholic Church. I said, the Catholic Church is dead mostly. There are some that are on fire. It all depends on the priest. And I said, the Pope has lost his ever-loving mind. And she said, well, there's good popes and bad popes. But you know, Jesus said he'll build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I said, yes, he's going to build his church. I said, but Mariology and all of that, no, that's no good. She says, now, you know that when you take communion, the presence of Christ is not in your church. I said, oh, yes, it is. She says, no, it isn't. And so I said, yeah, it is. And I didn't want to get into arguing transubstantiation. Because that is the argument. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. Transubstantiation is when they crucify Jesus every time they have mass. And they believe that the bread actually becomes the body and the cup actually becomes the blood. And that's why you can have the presence of God in your communion. We don't believe that. It's not theologically accurate or true whatsoever. And so I just thought I'd share that story with you. But you can take communion at home. And I would encourage you to do it. Just do it in a way that's worthy. And you say, well, I don't know how to do it. Just go watch one of our services from the first of the month. They're all over the place. And you can see how I lead. It's simple. Repent and acknowledge and receive communion. And it releases healing. I don't know how we got on all that, but I guess I was just, I really wanted to tell you that Catholic story. 1 Corinthians 11. You ask, we ask God for revelation. Ask God, why is this happening to me? Why am I still have this disease? Is there anything I need to do? Do I have bitterness towards my mother, towards my father, towards my ex-wife, towards my ex-husband? Do I have bitterness towards the government? Am I holding resentment? Do I have any? Holy Spirit, show me, is there anything in me that I need to do? See, some of you just think you just get healed like that. Yeah, you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, then you're not forgiven. I got like three amens. Amen. There's four. Ask God for revelation. Because you could be experiencing a form of judgment, some form of judgment on you because of 1 Corinthians 11. So if God spoke to you to do something and you haven't done it, you have maybe a debt that you haven't repaid or something that he's really, listen to you, I don't have any money to repay it. Take a step in the right direction. Ask God to help you. Take a step to remedy whatever that bitterness, that thing is. Don't have sin in your life because sin can definitely open a door to sickness and disease. Can I get a better amen than that? I've taught on that. There's lots of scripture. Go look it up yourself. All right. God is saying to us to persevere. Persevere. When you don't get the miracle right off or you get a partial miracle, what do you do? Keep doing it. Keep seeking God. Persevere. Just keep moving forward. Keep praying. Keep giving. Keep tithing. Keep serving. Oh, God didn't come through. Stop. It's not over yet. I'm convinced that we're just right before there's miracles. An angel is about to just come and give you golden manna. And then right before he puts it in your mouth, you're like, oh, I quit. And the angel's like, oh, geez. Your prayer was heard from the first day, Daniel. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Daniel 10. Your prayer was heard from the first day. There's warfare. There's challenges. There's difficulties. There's the flesh. There's the world. There's the devil. Contend. Fight. Pray. And if there's something jacked up on the inside of you, have God show you, but don't quit. Come on, somebody say, don't quit. You know, I was watching my son struggle under an incredible weight load at the gym. I have grilled into that young man that Brackens don't quit. We do not quit. My last name is Bracken. Really, it should be Christians don't quit. And the reason I said it all these years, and my daughters heard it too, is because my father said to me as a Marine, pain is fear leaving the body. He's a Marine. Pain is good. Now, there are some aspects of that that are really weird. But I remember it was like a holy moment. Brackens, don't quit. Don't you ever quit. Do you know something? I couldn't quit. I don't know how to quit. It's not in me to ever quit. It's something that God put in me like that. Let him put it in you because there's nowhere else to go. He alone has the words of eternal life. So what are you going to quit to? Where are you going? You going to go worship Shiva? Bad idea. Everybody say, worshiping Shiva is a bad idea. Okay. The passage teaches us how to minister to people. And I have seen this before. I don't have guests like this that come that do this, but I have been in services where this happens, where they take somebody and they're praying on healing. They pray for healing, and they'll maybe yank somebody up or make them walk, and they're like, how are you feeling? Are you better? You know, in front of thousands of people. And they don't want to make the evangelist or the pastor. I've seen pastors do it. I've seen evangelists do it. I've seen all kinds of people do it. How are you feeling? Are you healed? I'm healed. You can walk now? I can walk right now. I'm so much better. You know, they drag their leg off, and you're like, no, really, this is better. I've got more movement. Now, I understand. I'm not mocking that where there's an aspect of a percentage of healing, because you take 5%, 2%, ram it right down the devil's throat, and you can pray more than once, but it's please don't feel like you need to fall down if I pray for you. And I never push anybody. That's not true. I have pushed some people, but they needed to be pushed. And if any of my staff, pastors or ministers or leaders in the healing team push you, come tell me. And I'll make sure that doesn't happen. I remember, in fact, you're here in the service. I love you. You're so precious to me, but I'm not going to point you out. But you'll know who you are as I tell the story about you and me. You came to the front and your neck was messed up. And you're like, come to the front. And so I go to pray for you and you're like, stop. I'm like, my neck's injured because you were so strong with me. And you injured my neck. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're like, I was really upset with you and I had to forgive you. I said, well, thank you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. She says, okay. I said, well, can we pray again? She says, yes, please pray again. So, got totally healed on the spot, no neck problem. And she's like, tears running down. You're so sensitive to the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, hallelujah. I know I should have listened to my wife. Pastor Karen's like, you can be a little exuberant. When somebody prays for you, you do not need to fall down. And you don't need to lie, because liars go to hell. Are you healed? I'm healed. You're lying. Liars go to hell. Don't do that. There is partial healing and progressive healing, but you'll notice that Jesus, he's so gentle. Takes them by the hand. This passage teaches us how to minister to people, the loving compassion, compassion. And you know, the working of miracles many times is exactly just that, a working of miracle. The old timers used to say this, you do what you can do, Jesus will do the rest. So if you can't move anything, try. You start getting a little bit out of that leg and it releases faith. And before you know it, you're getting more and more and more and more. And then healing starts to flow. There can be the working of miracles. Come on, somebody say work it. But it's beautiful how Jesus teaches us. Be honest. Be honest with the Lord and be honest with people. And let people, I don't mind if somebody says to me when I pray for them, is there any improvement? I don't mind when they say no, because I'll pray again. I'll pray three times. Okay, pray four times. Pray 100 times. Not tonight. I'm not praying 100 times. But you can pray multiple times because Jesus prayed multiple times. And sometimes the way you pray needs to change and shift. And finally, Jesus is the God of the second touch. Can I have keys, please, Minister Toby? Jesus is the God of the second touch. If you've been healed before and the symptoms came back, or you found yourself back in that bondage that he delivered you from, don't you let the devil whisper to you, you're never going to get out of that bondage. Don't do that. And don't you let the devil whisper to you, well, that sickness is never going to go. It came back on you. He said, no, he's the God of the second touch. So the God that touched you before and healed you and set you free before can touch you and heal you and set you free tonight. And you don't ever get into that place where, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't do that. And don't listen to the enemy. Well, you're never going to get healed. Come up to the altar to get prayer 100 times if necessary. Don't ever stop. Lift your hands to heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.